The Rob Pratt Show, where Pittsburgh comes to talk every weekend. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
The Honorable Congressman Tim Murphy joins us now as we discuss cybersecurity.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave? Dave, I really think I'm entitled to an answer to that question. I know everything hasn't been quite right with me, but I can assure you now, very confidently, that it's going to be all right again.
2001 Space Odyssey, the late 60s, computers, they were just, well, in our stream of consciousness, and especially if you worked at NASA, other than that, you didn't even comprehend where we would be today. Well, as they say, it is social networking, from texting to tweeting to Facebook to obviously cell phones. You can actually download movies at home. It is amazing what you can do. But when you think about the security of this great nation, need I say anything more than the president's got a BlackBerry? Encrypted? How do we know it's safe? Well, one of the things that we do know, a man that is working for us in Washington, is Congressman Tim Murphy on the cutting edge of cybersecurity. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Good morning to you, too.
It's great to have you here. And you and I are old enough to remember 2001 Space Odyssey. Never did we think that those wall-like sized computers would be something that we could actually hold in our hands. So with technology, obviously a lot of wonderful things, but scary things too. How safe are we in this country with cybersecurity?
Well, we're not really safe at all. And you have to look at all of those great things that we have in our homes that allow us to access our bank files online, watch movies, to drive a car down the road that tells us exactly where we are in the globe, to have our engine system checked remotely by someone else. All those things mean that not only are we aware of it, but somebody else is aware of it too. And it is frightening, the frequency with which hackers around the world will get into everything from financial files to transportation to energy networks, education systems, defense systems, medical records. The list goes on and on. And that is why the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, appointed a number of us to a select committee to review the cybersecurity status in our country. And although we are probably in some areas a grade of B or so, in some areas we're down to a D or F, and there are things that every homeowner, every business has to take a careful look at to protect themselves from.
You know, it's amazing when you think how much we put out there into cyberspace and what people need to understand. Every time you hit send, it's out there, and the possibility of just about anyone seeing it does exist. Do you think people fool themselves into a false sense of security, and not just the American citizen, but those in government?
I think they do. We know that, for example, China at some of its universities has students taking courses, and they experiment around the world with getting into systems. They have gotten into congressional mail systems. They have gotten into defense systems. Folks have downloaded blueprints for highly top-secret aircraft that the Defense Department has, and the list goes on and on. But one of the things that is perhaps even more frightening is to understand that you don't even have to hit send to make things happen. Somewhere along the line, someone might have sent you an email that you don't even know is infected with some sort of a little time bomb or a bot or a virus that simply sits in your computer and waits and waits and waits and scans your computer internally when you don't even know it, looking for a credit card number, looking for a password. And at some moment when your computer is idle, maybe you've left it on and walked away, maybe it's just when you're turning it on or just before you turn it off, in the blink of an eye, in less than a blink of an eye, your computer can send all that information out on occasion, and then someone else can get your credit card number and access your bank record. And then another very troubling thing that happens is perhaps your computer is the source of probing others, and you don't even know it. If someone were to trace back, where did the computer virus come from, or who is controlling your computer at home, it might be someone else's computer who unknowingly has this system implanted in it by some criminal or terrorist group or some state-sponsored group, that if you try to trace back what the source was in your computer, it might simply be some person down the road who you never even met, who just happens to have something in their computer that's going out into the neighborhood. And it's all those troubling things, that the secret levels that these hackers and these cybersecurity infiltrators are becoming expert on, that makes us quite frightening.
You know, I want to get to what the Department of Energy did earlier with this whole electric car company and what you've been trying to do with Buy America and why you were on Fox television earlier this week. But I do want to end on this note. Can you please answer this? Are there countries right now as we speak plotting against us with cyber technology as they would with weapons of mass destruction?
Well, I would say in terms of what is public information, the answer is yes. That we do not have to have terrorist groups fly airplanes into buildings to attack us. That there are systems out there, there's groups out there, as I said, terrorists, state-sponsored ones, sometimes individuals, sometimes it's just individual mayhem makers out there that are probing and looking all the time. And think of it this way. I mean, it can come a number of ways. It could be something that shuts down power plants, causing tremendous damage and taking months to recover from those. It could be systems that attack our agricultural system, records and refrigeration systems. It could be things that ground airplanes just by getting into their computer system, which happened a while ago with Delta Airlines. So it's pretty clear that there are things happening all the time. We know Department of Defense is constantly watching those, but it really becomes a thing that everybody ought to be always scanning their computer for viruses, for probes inside. Be careful about information you put on there. And for business owners, I would recommend, just like sometimes businesses will routinely and randomly scan people for presence of drugs, it's not a bad idea to also scan all those computers at work for the same thing, because you may have employees who unknowingly, unwittingly, simply downloaded a photograph, not knowing that embedded in that and encrypted in that is some other programs which can bring down the whole company. So there's a lot we can do with that hygiene to protect a lot of us from those attacks. But other higher-level things are going to have to be done by business, by energy companies, and by the government to protect us from those bigger attacks.
18th District, he is Republican. He is Congressman Tim Murphy. We'll be right back. It's 7:48 on the Rob Pratt Show.
Live local talk radio at night.
But when the plane crashes, you don't spend the time on, oh, my goodness, think about the tens of thousands of planes that landed safely.
Robert Mangino. Weeknight 6 to 10. News Radio 1020, KDKA. You're locked in to the Rob Pratt Show. It's what Pittsburgh's talking about. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
We need more time. We need more time. Where does the morning go? 7:51 right now. All right. $125 billion spending package. DOE loan awarded to an electric car company that has announced the production facility will be located in Finland. This from ABC News earlier in the week. Not in the U.S. Our Congressman, Mr. Murphy, from the 18th District, several amendments to the stimulus bill that would have required Buy American. Well, Buy American requirements stripped out of the spending bill. Obviously, you're a little upset. How can that happen? I mean, that's like saying, okay, we got it, and then, by the way, we're not moving across town or to another state. We're moving out of the country. How can this happen?
It is so frustrating, and it's something that I suspect it might happen. Back when the stimulus bill was passed in 2009, I noted in it there was no provisions to buy anything in this country, and you have to wonder what would happen. I know, as the chairman of the Steel Caucus, I know that we're oftentimes battling against other countries who dump steel here, or it's subsidized by their government so they can sell here at a cheaper rate. So we were able to get a clause in the bill that says if you're going to buy steel, it ought to be from the U.S. But was also inserted in that bill that said, well, it depends if the bid difference is a certain level, then you can go ahead and buy it from other countries, only to find out later on that China, knowing that, undercut us and was selling steel for some bridges less than U.S. rates. Then we find another company, a solar panel company got $1.2 billion, later announced it's building these things in Mexico. That could have been prevented by amendment. And actually, it's interesting, Rob, it was passed unanimously in the Committee on Energy and Commerce to say that this was, if this was going to be a stimulus bill for American jobs, we ought to say that this part ought to be American-made. But mysteriously, and no one's still taking responsibility for this, by the time the bill got to the floor of the House of Representatives, that amendment disappeared. So there were no provisions in it at all that said that these things had to be made in America or substantially made in America. And now the taxpayers recognize that we're stimulating jobs in other countries, and perhaps that's a big reason why we still are having this unemployment rate above 9%. Never should have happened. Never should have happened.
My campaign, Rise Up America, has begun, and my new phrase is, I'd rather have a better's choice. I've had a chance to meet an entrepreneur, and there are many of them that I know, from the Joe Dentisis, the Ted Arnos, the John Sermas of the world. I could go down the list. So many. But I've met a real T-Bone Pickens type of individual, a wildcat, school of hard knocks, literally at the age of 15, grew up on the streets of Aliquippa, through building a construction company into Philadelphia in an area that no one would have ever wanted to go. He did, made it work, continued to put money into buildings and helping it grow. He's into the community that he grew up in. He's an activist about what is going on, not just in Beaver County, but in America. I'm talking about Chuck Betters. And the reason I want a Betters choice, because I've learned this from people like Ted Arnot, at least the odds are there that you have a fighting chance. When you leave things up to red tape, which I say should be police tape, and we should chalk line where all of the mills and industries once used to be, because it is a crime scene to see all of them disappear. And Tim, I know what you're doing just with this alone. You want Buy America. Before the whole Brownfields legislation was passed, he took a chance, rolled the dice, has put tens of million dollars back into this strip of land, this beautiful strip of land, which was once the home of J&L Steel, some 14,000 employees, 35,000 residents in that city. We in this country, we in this area, we in Beaver County, Allegheny, Butler, Lawrence, have literally sat back for 30 years and been told no because of tax reasons, a no-work state. It's not conducive. We need to go here because they're offering more. And I know you, and I've said this to Jason, to you, to Mike Doyle. I could go on and on. You are the voice of all of us in Washington. It is all about jobs. What do we have to do to get the governor, yourself, and I know Jason is on board and Jim Christiana will be here tomorrow. There's the possibility of some major things happening to that part of the region, which Dan Honorato and many others did with Westinghouse up in Cranberry, that put 10,000 jobs right smack dab in the heart of Cranberry. What do we need to do to help someone like Chuck Betters be told, you know what, you do have a chance. We commend you for what you're doing. What can you do as a politician to hopefully make someone at least hear and see what we have to offer in this region?
Well, here's what are some of the opportunities for jobs here. And this is where government can help or government can hinder. But let's look at the help aspect. We know that Westinghouse and nuclear industry has been a big boom for us. It has gone from a 250-job company to 5,000 jobs, and they support thousands outside of that, as you know. Then we have the coal industry, which is growing. But we have to make sure it's not just growing to mine coal and send it to China, but really we use our technology, our innovation, our creativity to find ways of cleaning it up and creating clean energy out of that. I don't dismiss that, as some do, that we can't do it. I say, let's rise to that challenge. We're Americans. We can do it. Now, the other aspect we have here that we are blessed with is the Marcellus Shale and the natural gas. We know that in addition to that natural gas, that could just be put in pipelines and shipped out here. I want to use a lot of it here. And we have opportunities here to court some major companies to build factories and facilities that would basically, what they call, crack that natural gas, pull chemical elements out of it, that then can be used to make plastics and attract other factories that make plastics. This could be a big boom for us. And quite frankly, you add those things together and we gain more jobs than we lost when the steel industry picked up and moved from here. That is really exciting. Now, we've got to do it right. We've got to make sure we're very strict on all the environmental rules. We don't bypass anything. We don't want those problems. But, again, I believe in American ingenuity and know-how, and I believe we can do it. And that's going to require private investors to get on board. It's going to involve community leaders and folks from the state and federal and county government to work together. And that's what we're working on now. I know the governor is involved in a lot of discussions with some specific companies. They don't want publicity or information out on that yet. That's okay. But we're competing with Ohio and West Virginia for those jobs. We want them here. We want to show we've got a great workforce, dedicated people, and we can do these things. And so it's a great opportunity. And I'm glad that there's private investors out there and entrepreneurs who want to be part of this, because that's what these companies can look for.
Tim, I got to take a break. I have nothing at stake here but the possibility of my children saying, you know what, Dad, I want to stay in Beaver County. I want to stay in Western Pennsylvania. Tell everyone to reach out to what he's doing there. At least take a look. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Thank you, Tim.
You bet.